Well, we've been looking at a little couple of messages on our dear friend Elijah, and today's one will probably be the last one. We're talking about Elijah getting ready to leave this world. And we saw last week that God twice asked Elijah the question, "What doest thou here?" Elijah shouldn't have been where he was, and the Lord caught up with him and asked him those questions, and the Lord spoke to him in that still small voice, and Elijah was obedient and recommissioned to God's work. And now we come to the part where we see Elijah preparing to depart to heaven. We come to his last days on earth. And he and Elisha, and we might look at Elisha for a couple of weeks starting next week, he and Elisha have been together for some time, a few years. And in that time, as close friends do, and especially companions in the Lord, they shared hardships and dangers as well as the wonderful joys of service. But now the time's come for Elijah to depart. If you'd like to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2, and we'll be going through verses 1 to 12 there. 2 Kings chapter 2. And beginning in verse 1, we read, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." We see as Elijah was preparing to leave, Elijah kept up with the work that God gave him to do. He had visited Bethel and Jericho, and that's where the schools of the prophets were. No doubt he would have taught and encouraged young men there. It may be well that the best preparation for our departure is to go on faithfully doing the job God has put into our hands, whatever that job may be. And when the time comes for God to take us to heaven, with what joy we shall have when we meet our Lord, if we've been faithful and loyal to Him and as busy and as brave as Elijah was in his service to God. Now, Paul was able to say at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, he said, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith." You know, and that's what we should seek to do. We should be seeking to please our Lord now while we have the opportunity in all the things He has asked us to do. And we should be going on faithfully, even in the small duties or the great duties of life, until we come to the end of our journey. See, we can prepare to meet our Lord by watching and doing. In Luke 12:37, we read, "Blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and save them." And verse 40 of the same place in Luke there, "Be ye there ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." In verse 43, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." You know, in getting ready to leave, Elijah sought to do something for his friend while he still had the chance to do so. And his last thoughts before leaving were for Elisha. In 2 Kings 2:9, we read, "It came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, very soon Elijah would not be able to do anything for his friend. So he makes use of his last opportunity to help his friend out. And if there's anything that we can do for others, let's do it. Let's do it now before it becomes too late. Let's do it while we have the opportunity. You know, too often we get taken up with our own interests. We get taken up with our own business that we do not think of how we can be a true help to others. And what happens is we let slip by us a God-given opportunity to help others out. Think of Nicodemus. Think of how much he might have done for his Lord Jesus while he was alive. But it wasn't until Christ was dead that Nicodemus then came with 100-pound weight of myrrh and aloes. John 19:39. Galatians 6:10. We are reminded, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Listen, we should be looking for opportunities to see how we can lighten the load, how we can take away the burden from those who may be struggling, uplifting those who may be hurt and are finding it hard in life. While we have the time to do so, that's what we should be doing. You know, Elijah, one thing I really like about Elijah is that he was humble. He was a man who never went around talking about himself or what God was going to do for him. He wasn't a boaster. And what an amazing thing it was for him to go to heaven without dying. You know, think of the promise God had given him. You know, Enoch, the only other one I know of who had that same privilege. Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And he wasn't a boaster either. John the Baptist. He could have said a lot about himself, but he didn't. In fact, John the Baptist didn't even resent it when his followers left him to go after Jesus. In fact, he said that he, that's Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. John 3:30. And it doesn't matter how God uses us. It doesn't matter with what God wants to do with us. We are only to do things for the glory of God, not try and get a name for ourselves, not talk about it, not boast about it. Oh, look what I'm doing. Look what God's doing through me. That's not the heart of a humble or meek man or woman. We need to let God receive the honor and the glory for everything He allows us to do and the way He uses us. You know, it's an awesome privilege to be able to put your hand up and say, God, whatever, here I am. That's an awesome privilege. We also see that Elijah was sure of God's leading and his guidance. Three times, 2 Kings 2:2, Elijah said to Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Verse 4, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Verse 6, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. You know, how did Elijah know what God wanted him to do and where God wanted him to go? Well, it's the same way that we may know God's continual guidance. You know, there are conditions that we have to fulfill. First, Proverbs 3:5, never lean on our own understanding. You know, it's a very easy thing to trust in our own abilities. It's very easy to trust in our own wisdom. We're very good at talking ourselves into saying, this is right, this is good, this is what I want to do, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And usually they're things we like to do. When the Lord knocks on the door of your heart, it's very rarely the things you like to do. They're the things he wants to do and accomplish through you so that he gets the glory for it. You know, sometimes we think we know better, and so often we miss the way that only God can see ahead. We can't see ahead. We don't know the next day. And there are times when the way we should go is not clear to us. And that's when we need God's wisdom and God's guidance so that we may know the direction and the path God would have us take. And sometimes that takes time. We've got to sit back. We've got to rest. We've got to wait. We've got to be patient for his direction. It's a bit like these pilots that fly all over the world. They don't just take off from the airport and say, well, there's the United States, I'll go that way. They don't do that. They're given a flight plan. And they fly to one point. And when they get to that point, they are told they've got to go to another point. And they go to all those points to get to their direction, to the place where they need to be. They don't just get up and go. And that's the same with us. We've got to wait on the Lord. Never lean on our own understanding. Second, we must look to the Lord's promise that in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 6 of Proverbs 3. You know, before we go running over here to this person and then back over here to that person and ringing up this one and ringing up that one, seeking all the advice we can get, the first thing we must do is go to God, ask him, and wait patiently until we hear from him and allow him to direct our paths. And he will. Thirdly, we've got to walk a path of obedience. You know, whenever God said to Elijah, "Arise and go," he went. And because of that obedience, on the future occasions, God would make known to him his will. And Elijah was able to follow it. You know, obedience always puts the consequences into God's hands and takes them out of ours. And disobedience is the exact opposite. The consequences are ours, they're not God's. And he will deal with it. If we obey God, we can leave it all to him and wait upon him. And unless God sees on our part a true willingness to do his will when he reveals it, then we can't expect to see him guide us. He will wait until we are ready to rest in him and be obedient to him. Hosea 6:3 says to us, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning." John 7:17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know." Now the Lord knew the time of Elijah's leaving, and the Lord knows that very day for us as well. He has an appointment ready for each and every believer, whether it's in the rapture before we die or in death, the Lord knows. Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment." He knows when our work is done. He will let us know when he is finished with us. He alone knows whether we will pass through the gates of death or be caught up to meet him in the air. That's his knowledge. He knows we are but to wait on him and be obedient to him as we go through this life on this earth. I heard two men discussing once. One wanted to go in the rapture and the other one wanted the pleasure of death and being taken through that with the Lord. And I began to thought, I wonder which one would be the best blessing. It's an interesting thing. You may not have done much for the Lord, and He wanted you to do more, and He's given you another chance. And if God tarries with our lives, we can be sure He has a plan and a purpose for us to do. And if we have lost out on an opportunity because of something we have done, and God wants to recommission us and use us in some other way, we really need to put our hands up and grab that eagerly and take it. Because what a blessing it is that He comes to us again and saying, listen, I still want to use you. We can be sure whatever it will be, He has a purpose for us. Now, if we are ready to meet our Lord, then all's going to be well. Elijah's leaving was sudden, but it was expected. We don't know exactly how long it will be for us. You know, we don't know how long exactly it was before Elijah knew he was going to go to heaven, but we do know he went suddenly. Now, I remember being under the ministry of a man. It wasn't a personal ministry. It was just a ministry. He was in the United States, and I was listening to and studying some work he was doing on faith. And it was just a real blessing to be able to study under this man, Pastor Rick Ferguson, his name was. And he and his son were just coming home from being at the lake one day, and they ran into the back of a truck, and the boat slid off the trailer that was on the back of them and went through the windscreen and took this man out. Just like that. What a shock it was. An incredible teacher and preacher. His son was fine right next to him. Not an injury at all. And yet he was taken. What a shock. Just sudden. We never know. We do not know. And we should live in the expectation that the Lord may call us, and we need to be ready to meet Him when we get there. Verse 11 of our text, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Man, what a scene that brings before us. You know, if we are alive when the Lord comes, our leaving will be just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52 tells us. We don't know. Do we believe that, though? That He can come imminently, any moment? That we do not know what tomorrow could take, could happen? Are we living, therefore, as though we are one who may expect to meet the Lord at any moment, even right now? How's our thought life? How are the things we look upon, the things we listen to, the way we behave, our actions? Could all just go in one moment and we'll be before the Lord. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. What a triumphant departure for this man from this earth. And you think about it, a bit like Peter this morning, how he rebuked the Lord, and now he's saying, he said something else. Whom you have not seen, you love. Elijah's very similar. Can you imagine if God had answered that prayer when he wanted to die? Imagine what he would have missed out on. These chariots of fire, horses of fire, being taken up in a whirlwind. In a time of discouraging, he asked to die.
In a time of discouragement, we should be saying, Lord, help us. Uplift us. Encourage us. Send a good friend along to be a companion to us.
You know, many have said, and I've heard it, you've probably heard it too, as long as I scrape through the gates of heaven, I'll be happy. We shouldn't be happy just to get into heaven. We should live that we might have an abundant entrance in through the gates of glory. Our motive should be to honor the Lord in everything, to bring glory to his name in every thought, in every action, in every deed that we do. It should be all for his honor and glory, not for our comfort or goodness. Not to make life easier for us, not to receive praise, but that he is honored and he is glorified. That he is glorified in our souls and our spirits, which are his. And it would do us all well to keep a very close watch on our motives, to be on our guard about self-seeking and self-satisfaction. That we not desire so much to be clever and eloquent and or deeply learned. We should not want others' admiration or praise, even their good opinion. Our one and only desire should be for God's glory and God's honor. Leave it to him. Rest in him. Be obedient to him. Follow him. Trust him. Live your lives like you believe he'll take care of you. That he should receive all the praise from the work that he has so graciously put into us and entrusted us with in this life as we live for him. Second Peter 1:11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Listen, Elijah had nothing to fear. He was going to be with his Lord, who he loved so well and who he had served so faithfully. Now, the false prophet Balaam, he said in Numbers 23:10, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." If we are to die the death of the righteous, then surely we must live as the righteous live. Balaam hadn't done that, but Elijah had. And if we are to please our Lord, serving him faithfully, in whatever position he has placed us in, going on until he decides we're finished with that job, then our departure from this earth will be a very glad and happy entrance into his presence. Instead of trying to dodge the service of the Lord, embrace it. There's only one life to live on this earth, and that's right now. And all that we do should be doing for his glory. You want to count the cost? Then look to the cross. Verse 12, "And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces." What effect had Elijah on his dear friend? We read it right there. Elisha cries out, "My father, my father." What a great companionship they had. And he tore his clothes in two, And he saw him no more on that earth from that day on. What effect are we having on those around us? The effect of the Lord at work in us so that we can work in the lives of others. Luke 12:43 tells us, and I'll finish with this, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall so find doing. Are you watching, waiting, working? That's what the Lord wants us to do. Not to think of ourselves, but to esteem others better than ourselves. To live a life that is well-pleasing to him. A life of faith and trust in the truth that with God nothing shall be impossible. That with God every need will be supplied. Do you believe it? Do you truly believe those things? If we do, let's live it and live it for his glory. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these few messages we've had on the life of Elijah. We've seen him go through trials. We've seen his victories. We've seen his discouragement. We've seen him recommissioned. And we've seen him taken to heaven in a glorious way to meet you and to rest with you for eternity. We praise you, Father, for that. And we just think, Lord, of our service to you on this earth. May we just take account of where we really are putting our efforts, what we're really spending our time on, with our family, with our friends. Are we entrusting into them the wonderful truths of who you are, being a witness and testimony for your grace and your love, for your glory, for your honor? Because this very short life on this earth, this vapor that will soon disappear, will be over and we won't have that opportunity again. May we make the most of our life, our Christian heritage, the grace that you've given to us to affect the ones we love, to those we witness to. May they see a difference, Lord, a difference that can only be called Christ at work in you, and that we bring glory and honor to your name. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.